and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship with us, we are glad that you have found your way to this church community. You can check out how we are church together Monday through Saturday. Yes, we are more than just a Sunday church, and the ways we participate in fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Take a look at that bulletin. You'll see lots of different ways that we are in community together. And if you have a question about our worship or any of the ways that we participate in ministry together, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. And we've got some fun fellowship opportunities happening this month, and Tracy will tell you about one of them.
Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder, I'd like everyone, if they could, are still interested in the GPC Red Wings night. It's Friday, July 21st. I'd like to get sign-ups wrapped up today and this week, if possible, so I can get tickets and get those distributed. I will have tickets for pickup next Sunday, or if you don't think you'll be here, just let me know, and we can either arrange another meeting, or I will leave the tickets for you at will call, so you can see me after church out on the patio. Thank you.
And at GPC, church camping is back with a little bit of a different twist because we're going to try it out in our backyard. In your bulletin, you'll see more information about our camping adventure. There is also a sign up on the kiosk, and we'd love to know if you're coming. And if you do not plan to stay the night, you know what? That's okay. You can go home and sleep in your own bed and come back for outdoor worship on Sunday morning. But we would like to know how many hot dogs and brats to buy, and all side dishes will be potluck style, so bring something to share. But we'd love to have you for the evening. We're going to hopefully have a movie and games and, of course, yes, a campfire. And if you do plan to stay the night, we're going to keep the church open for bathroom facilities, and then everyone just bring a tent, or I guess if you like to sleep completely under the stars, that is up to you. And we'll have a great time on Sunday morning. So please sign up, let us know that you're coming, and if you plan to stay the night, or just come for the evening and the morning. Not seeing any other announcements, let us now prepare our hearts and our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God. Stand for the call to worship. Come, all who are weary. Come, all who are heavy laden. Come, all who
black hole. Come, let us worship our God, whose power is near the earth, who leads us into life.
Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Merciful and loving God, we are so grateful for your redeeming love for each one of us. We confess that when the times of difficulties are upon us, we don't always believe that you will take our burdens. We feel we ought to always be in control, trying to demand the desired outcome. Help us to place our trust in you. Remind us that you surround us continually with your care. You never just let us go to drift aimlessly about. Open our hearts and spirits again in your healing powers. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who will take our burdens and give us peace. Amen. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Hear the word of the Lord in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Do we have any children with us this morning? I know I've got one. I've seen two. Let's see. There we go. Come on forward. Good. All right. Here we go.
all of us.
How are you guys doing? Yeah? All right, good. So, scripture this morning, you're going to hear the story from Jesus in the book of Matthew, where there are all of these big crowds who have spent all day walking in the hot sun, the dirty, dusty ground, and they're feeling pretty tired, pretty worn out. Seems like you on a Monday? Yeah, kind of feels like Monday that way. So we'll take the crowd on their Monday and their very, very tired selves, and it's almost like they just really need a long nap. Oh, and I know you take naps. You guys, you done with naps? You, yeah, kind of done with them. When the feeling strikes, you doze off. That makes sense. So do you guys, when you do go to bed at night, maybe not so much at nap time, but at night, do you have a special favorite pillow or blanket or stuffed animal that you go to sleep with? You just flop right down. All right, well, I have a special blanket. When I was little, I had a yellow blanket, and it was called my Bubba. And I took my Bubba with me everywhere, and I hung on so tight. And every night when I went to sleep, it helped me feel calm and relaxed when I was really, really tired. And so I brought one of the blankets that I have that I still use as a way to help calm, and my kids have them too. And in our scripture passage today, Jesus talks about how when we get really, 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 really tired, that God is one of those places, one of those things that you can hang on to, and that we will find rest in God's presence. But sometimes we need reminders to help us remember that God is always with us as they see that smile and is there to give us rest. So as you are going about your Monday or your week, be thinking about what are those reminders, whether it's a Bubba, a blankie, or a stuffed animal, that helps you remember that you can rest. Do you guys want to pray silently today, or do you want to pray out loud? Doesn't matter. How about we pray silently? Dear God, we thank you for today, for the ways in which you call us to you as a reminder to rest and to be comforted by your presence. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for being kids today.
Gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are fallen and raises up who are all bowed down.
Our gospel reading for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And at the same time, Jesus said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Everyone needs someone to tell her when she has spinach in her teeth. Preferably before said someone heads out of the house after dinner for a meeting where she may or may not think that people are really into what she's saying, because everyone is watching every word she says, literally. But, you know, the same goes for similar problems a bit further down. XYZ, someone said to me recently, with a surprised, stunned look on my face, not quite sure how to respond. The person followed up, "Barn door." Looking down at my shorts, I could see the zipper was wide open. But, you know, as embarrassed as I was, and, of course, that silent admonishment, for this is why I normally wear skirts, but I was thankful, right, that the person pointed this out to me. The person was direct, and it saved me the embarrassment of wondering how many other people I had exposed myself to. Now, one theologian reminds us about our experience in these kind of moments, and reminds us that we all need help seeing what we do not see, which is actually one of the reasons we practice faith in community, by giving us those who view scripture, life, faith differently than we do, and God delivers us from the worship of our own readings and understandings, by joining us with those who have been broken in different places than we have. God offers us guides who spot danger where we may not, by seating us at table with those who see us differently than we see ourselves. God makes sure we have someone to tell us to X, Y, Z. And while appreciated to a point, it does make us feel uncomfortable. And it's this sense of discomfort from the confounding of expectations that we pick up these verses with Jesus and his disciples and the crowds from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. You see, there are these large crowds that appear before Jesus following the recent imprisonment of John the Baptist. And they're working through, the crowds are, their heavy burdens of their assumptions about what they believe about God from what they know from John and Jesus. But neither seems to quite satisfy the expectations of the people. David Loess calls this the Goldilocks syndrome. John the Baptist and the God that John represents is just too severe, too reclusive, a loner, somber, serious. He might be a bit too old school for our taste, right? Matthew says he should eat and drink more, less bugs and honey, and maybe a bit more, I don't know, vegetables. But John was this amazing prophet and messenger, unlike any prophet who had come before. And the word of God was powerful on his lips as he proclaimed repentance, preparation. And through him, God was changing lives. Through him, God was at work. And yet, with each of John's sermons, the people's burdens seemed to grow heavier. He's the preparer of the way, they asked each other. Because that's not how I do it, they said. No, no, they would state as they slung those heavy burdens of unfulfilled expectations back over their shoulders. John the Baptist is not the kind of preacher and preparer of the way I would have chosen. And then Jesus arrives, the one whom John has been preparing the way for. And Jesus, he came with this deep passion for justice and the kingdom and joy and compassion for all. He embodied the good news of God's grace and love, God's healing and salvation. Jesus was the one. And through him, God was changing the world. God was truly at work for all those who had the eyes to see and the ears to hear. But you know, the crowds began to say, Jesus and the God that Jesus represents, he's maybe just a bit too accepting. He maybe eats and drinks a little too much. And with the wrong people at that. He's so open, forgiving, accepting. And everywhere that Jesus went, people openly argued about how he was, or rather, who he was not. I think he's Elijah, some would say. No, he's just some other prophet, another might respond. Maybe he's just a healer. But some say he's the Messiah. From the palace steps to the courtyard, from the community wells to family meals, the questions kept reverberating through the crowds. Is he really it? But I don't know that he's what we expect. This isn't quite going as planned. Are we sure that this Jesus of Nazareth, is really the one? You see, because we kind of like our religious leaders to be just right, right? Which means we want them to be just like us, which is perhaps what's so appealing about our expectations of God. They don't threaten us. They don't expect change from us. They don't ask us to do all that much, and hopefully they just kind of leave us alone. We like to be able to turn them off with a click of a button or a mouse. Because these expectations of this kind of God make us feel comfortable. But they don't do much more than affirm us. An affirmation is great, even necessary at times, but it doesn't save. And so God comes along, first in John, and then even more fully in Jesus, in part to help us see what we cannot see, to X, Y, Z, and call us into question what we thought we knew, in order to surprise us by being so different from what we expected, and lays upon our shoulders precisely what we need. Because we do grow weary with these heavy burdens of trying to figure it all out by ourselves, by trying to keep life under control, carefully manage not only our own expectations of what life should be, but everyone else's too. And so we keep going day after day after day, trying to make all of these aspects of our life and God fit into those expectations. And we don't know what to do with that which doesn't always work that way. Like the knowledge of God, it's not really something that can be achieved. God is just not another thing we can reach out and take hold of by our own power or by willing what we believe about God to be the only truth about God. So we chafe and we struggle under the burdens of what we think God should be about and do. And in these verses, Jesus calls these expectations into question. But thankfully, he doesn't leave us fumbling around in embarrassment either. You see, what the lectionary skips over this morning are some of the most important verses of the story. It's where Jesus begins to really grow agitated and frustrated under the weight of all the people's expectations. Because no matter what John did or he did, the people just weren't going to be satisfied. Woe, he cries out to them. Did they not see the kingdom of God breaking in all around them? Could they not see the youth and children committing themselves to mission partnerships by feeding those who are hungry, for caring for the ages, for the aging? Could they not see the deacons at bedsides of those whose health is failing, who are dying? Could they not see the strangers becoming friends as people reach out in hospitality to new faces? They not see neighbors learning about each other's lives as they learn to grow food together in the garden? Could they not see God's presence breaking in through the honest and difficult conversations about everything facing them in the world today? About how we can be agents of love and change together? See, there, God was all around them. There were just these times where they struggled to notice. They struggled under that burden of what they thought God should be doing in the world, who they thought Jesus should be, and what they assumed that being followers of Jesus would mean for their life together in the here and now. So growing weary in his own frustrations with the crowd, what Jesus decides to do is pray. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. The prayer itself is its own XYZ moment. Jesus wants to remind all of us that no matter how intelligent or powerful we think we are not the creator, but the creatures. We're actually not the ones with the weight of the world on our shoulders, but the ones who rest in the palm of God's hands. But we get that mixed up a lot. I know I do too. And so Jesus uses this metaphor of the yoke help his listeners imagine more clearly what he means. And we would often prefer a God who would just take this yoke off, take away our problems rather than help us cope with them, who eliminates challenges rather than equips us for them, who vanquishes our opponents rather than enabling us to make peace. The yoke of invitation is to draw closer. It's maybe not what we want, but it is what we need. Come to me, Jesus, in his own XYZ moment, proclaims. See that you are not alone in trying to figure this all out, trying to keep life under control. Come to me. See, you are not carrying the burdens of broken expectations of what you thought God or the church was all about. Come to me. Bring those disappointments. Bring those failed attempts at trying to be God and rest together in knowing that you aren't alone. The yoke is easy and the burden is light because Jesus enables us to meet its demands, and because those demands fit that human beings are created for community with God and one another. The yoke brings us together, and the demands of the yoke are to love God above all and one's neighbor as oneself. And in this, we are joined together with God and one another in the freedom to participate in what God is already doing in our lives. May it be so now and always.
Share with the community, please just raise your hand, stand if you're able,
Tell us who you are and share your prayer.
Harry Dykes, I'd like to ask prayers for my friend Cora Fox, who was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Prayers for your friend and her recent diagnosis.
Kate Stanford, I'd like to pray for a neighbor who's 11-year-old. They found a tumor on her kidney, and they are going to have to remove the kidney, and she's going to have to go through radiation. And they lost, several years ago, their 3-year-old son to cancer. So the family's really struggling with this.
Prayers for this family.
Hi, my name is Harmony Cook, and in 4 days, my birthday, I will be turning 11, so
prayers of joy for your birthday. 11's a good age.
Nathan, I'd like to congratulate Jimmy and Betty on the anniversary, 56 years.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary. And I also call attention in your bulletin to a joy. We celebrate with our choir director, Roy, and his wife, Julie. They welcomed Felix Quincy into the world on July 5th. So congratulations to the family, and prayers for the big brothers. And also prayers for Cheryl and Bruce Taylor with the death of Cheryl's mother this. Let us pray together. Oh God, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. You are beyond our busy imaginations, far above our constructions of thought. You meet us in the dust. Your footprints cross ours, behind us, before us. We tread the path. You lead the way. You bow low and you lift us up. You look upon us through the face of the poor and bless us in the nurture of friendship. You challenge us in the cries for justice and the weeping for hope. Yoked to Jesus, your Son, joined in oneness with yourself, we strain against your direction. And we know ourselves irksome, summoned to follow your way. We burden ourselves and others. When asked to stand up, we cower in our own inadequacy. Forgive us, O God, who are bondage to fixed patterns when they no longer serve you. Our surrender to newness, when newness is folly and our failure to listen to the people around us, the old and new who are hurting and hidden beyond our preoccupations. God, we pray for the people of this world, your creatures, your creation. God, empower us to walk alongside one another and to. We bring these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, those spoken and silent. And we pray together the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to say together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. At this time, we celebrate the fact that God has entrusted us with great gifts, both of money, of time, of energy, and skills, and they are entrusted to us to serve God. We celebrate this morning with our offering, offering a portion of those gifts back to God.
us, O Lord. Receive also these gifts that we offer to you, that your love may be known through the ministries of peace, hope, and justice. Amen.
Surrounds us everywhere we go, beckoning, calling us to rest, to find strength, to serve God, to do justice, to walk humbly, always, everywhere we go. So go with that love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes to get up each day to do it again. Hallelujah. Thank you.